Years ago, Terry and I directed a family retreat, and one of the things we did was to set up an obstacle course, and when people got there, they would look over the obstacle course, and most of them were totally unimpressed. It looked like a fairly easy obstacle course. If you got off the course, there was water and mud and a few low-hanging things and various things like that. Then on the night before the obstacle course, we explained that we wanted two people from each family to participate, and that one person would carry the other person. So they, you know, families began to work it out. The big, strong guy to typically be the carrier, and then, you know, the smallest person in the family to be the person who was going to be carried. And, you know, that a little bit of, it's still a feeling of, well, that won't be too difficult or it won't be too hard. When it came time to begin, we announced that this was going to be the faith by sight. You're going to walk by faith, not by sight. And we blindfolded each of the carrier people. Well, it became an absolute disaster. The people who had chosen their 3-year-old daughter to ride on their shoulders, she was now directing dad while he was blindfolded. Even teenagers didn't do a real good job of communication. And there's all kinds of things that you could draw, all kinds of principles that you could draw and teaching moments that came from that as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we have a passage that we all know. We live by faith, not by sight. And if you could go to the old King James, I actually prefer the King James because it says we walk by faith and not by sight. And that certainly is the absolute truth. That's a little bit hard for us to grasp and a little bit hard for us to really connect in our minds, because we really are awfully reliant on our sight. As human beings, we have 5 senses. And I think you could pretty effectively argue that the most utilized sense is the sense of sight. We look at things, we evaluate things with our sight. And yet we know that visually things can be tricky. Prosecutors, you know, you ask them, would you rather have an eyewitness or would you rather have some science? Oh, give me science any day. Give me a fingerprint. Give me DNA. Give me a timeline. Because eyewitnesses frequently get it wrong. Especially if there are multiple eyewitnesses, usually a good defense attorney can create all kinds of conflict between the multiple eyewitnesses. People don't see it the same. And then there are those attempts to obviously create visual illusions. Let me share a couple of those with you. There's the ship in the bottle. Guy standing on a Coke bottle. You see what's going on? It's a sand dune behind him, and it's just a sense of proportion that creates a weird illusion. She, of course, is holding up the Leaning Tower of Pisa with her feet, and this is my favorite. We know that our eyes can play tricks on us, especially in unique kind of circumstances, or if somebody's really trying to do that. And so God comes to us and says, I've given you this tremendous sense of sight, but when it comes to matters of the spirit, I need for you to turn off your sight and to walk instead by faith. And I'm saying this morning that that's a very difficult thing to do. We don't want to do that because we can see it right there. I can see that this isn't going to work. God says, don't look at it that way. You're not supposed to look at it from a human perspective. You're supposed to look at it from a spiritual perspective, from a faith perspective. And as God, I'm telling you, this will work. And it's really hard for us when we see it to convince ourselves that that's not absolutely the way. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. I can see it. That's the way I ought to go. There are certainly things that are beyond our sight. The future is beyond our sight. Aren't you glad? I don't want to know the future. there's negative things in the future. If God were to say to us, you're going to die in 20 years or 40 years or ever how many years, we would immediately begin to mark days off our calendar. How many days do I have left? How much time do I have left? If there was something good that was going to happen to you. I worked with a young man who was 16, 17 years old. This young man was going to receive $25,000 on his 18th birthday. And he dropped out of school because he was going to live on that $25,000. And you could say to him, what are you going to do with that? Well, I'm going to buy a truck and I'm going to get a house. And wait. And it totally took away his ambition. He was so deceived by what was going to happen there. In John chapter 13, verse 7, Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. What was he doing? John chapter 13, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. He gave them this powerful lesson in this critical moment in their lives and in his life. And he says to them, you don't totally understand what's going on here. What you've seen, you've learned maybe some things, but you don't have it all. And later on, you're going to understand more. When we all get to heaven, farther along, we want to get to that place where we can say to God, why did this work, or how did this work? Or maybe we have the blessing of getting to the place where we see exactly how it worked and we understand that we made the right choice by living by faith. A lot of things, though, are things that we don't ever know about. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Moses says, you've got plenty of things to see and follow those. But he introduced that by saying, secret things belong to the Lord. There are things God knows that we don't know. We don't know how close we come sometimes. We don't know how God intervenes. We don't know how things are changed or shaped in a particular way. We just go through life, and I've mentioned before, you could easily sit down at the end of the day and say, well, this was a dull, boring day, without any awareness of what God has done in your life that day, and particularly how he could have protected you. There's a silly story. I've shared it before, and there wasn't much response, but I want to share it again and see if I can do a little better job with it this time. It's not intended to be true. It's just an illustration. But the story is about two angels, an old, wise, mature angel and a young apprentice angel. And those two angels come to an old farming couple, a husband and wife. They have very little in this world. All they have really is an old cow. And the milk that they get, they sell, and that creates a little bit of income for them. They spend the night there. They wake up the next morning, and the cow has died. And the little angel, the apprentice angel, is infuriated. Why? Why did that happen? That's so unfair. That's all they had. It just makes me mad. And the senior, mature angel says, you don't understand. The death angel came last night. He came for the woman, and I talked him into taking the cow instead. Now, that's a fictitious story, but when we look at the negative things of life, we don't know when those things were a change from what really could have been. And we look at this and say, why did God allow this to happen? Well, what could have happened would have been so much more traumatic than that. And over, those things are going in our lives. Opportunities are being brought to us. Danger is being taken away from us. Protection is being provided. And God says, you don't see this. So don't walk by your eyes. Walk by your faith. Job didn't have any idea what was going on in his life. He didn't know that God was proving something to Satan. He didn't understand what was taking place. What if Job had walked by sight instead of by faith? Well, that book probably wouldn't be there. If it were there, it would be totally different from the way it is now. Job instead says, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth. He's talking about the Messiah. I believe God so much that I believe God's going to deliver on his promise to bring the Messiah to this world. I have total and complete faith in God. I'm going to walk by my faith, not by my sight. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I've always thought it must have been an interesting conversation that Abraham had with Sarah. Get packed up. We're moving. Where? Well, I really don't know. We're just going to hit the road, and God will show us when we get there. You think there was any resistance to that at all? That's what God tells him. I want you to do what, Abraham? I want you to walk by faith. I want you to forget about what you can see personally. I want you to get out there and trust me. I'm going to lead you to this land that's ultimately going to be the place where your descendants are going to be there. Years ago, we used to live in a community that had miles and miles of greenbelt trails. Beautiful trails. You could go anywhere in the addition without having to cross an intersection of any kind. It was just a wonderful place to be. And there was a lady in church, and she had a preschool son about 4 years old. And in the afternoons, she would love to go out and walk on the greenbelt trails. And her son would ride in the wagon. And she'd say, come on, Benji, we're going to go for a little ride. He'd say, where are we going? Well, we're not really going anywhere. We're just going for a walk. And Benji would get in the wagon, and he would say, where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? And she would talk about how frustrating that was. I like to put tape over his mouth. You know, this is just a walk, Benji. By the way, Benji would be over 40 now. I got to thinking about that as well. And don't you know that God sees Benji in us? Where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? Tell me what we're going to find. I got to know. I got to know. And he's like, just get in the wagon. We're going someplace good. This is going to be a pleasant outcome. Don't let your eyes deceive you. Go with your faith. Caleb goes to Joshua, says, I'm 80 years old. Give me the mountaintop. I'm not looking by sight. I'm looking by faith. Little old David goes out there and encounters Goliath. What's he do? He starts trash talking is what he does. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, this is spoken by Jehoshaphat. My grandmother used to say, jumping Jehoshaphat. And I was so glad to finally come across Jehoshaphat in Bible school, because then I knew that there really was one of those guys. Our God will not judge them, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Jehoshaphat says, look at us, look at them, we're going to lose. But we're not going to lose because we're looking to God. And we're acting in faith in this situation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not going to bow down. Well, we're going to toss you into the fiery furnace. Well, if you do, we're either going to survive or God's going to rescue us and provide for us in some way, even if it's in another kind of experience, in another kind of life. People over and over again look at the things of this life and say, we're not buying those things. We're looking at the spiritual things that have come to us in this life. With sight, this is not me, this is a quote that I found. With sight, we see our world. By faith, we see God's world. And that was really the passage that Jason shared with us earlier from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You can't totally trust what you observe. Is this good or bad? Is it true or false? Is it healthy or unhealthy? Is it beneficial or dangerous? And often we get a lot of conflicting information. And our eyes see and our eyes judge. And we sometimes get to the place where we don't exactly know for sure. And God says, don't worry about it. follow what I am asking you to do. I think the reason that this is so hard is that we don't like to give up control. We'd like to have control. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but there are some people that if you're going somewhere with them, they're going to drive. That's control. They like to have control. And so that's just an important part of their life. And some folks are like that because they've had a negative experience and various kinds of things. The reality with us, though, is that we can't control this life. There's nothing we can do about it. And the time where we get to the place where we say, I got to let go of it and give it to God, is the time when we really achieve a victory. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And if you look at other translations, you see expressions like our senses are exercised, our senses are trained, our senses have been trained. We get to that place where we utilize our senses in such a way that we're trained to do something different with them. And in this passage from Corinthians, God says, turn off your eyesight. Don't trust what you see because it could be an illusion. But if you trust what I give you, it's always going to be the right choice and the right direction. We live life in light of eternal consequences, not based on what we see, but on what we know God will provide. Thomas, when reunited with Jesus, said, I won't believe unless I see with my own eyes his side and his hands. And then he says, my Lord and my God. But it took seeing to do that. God is asking us to go beyond our sight. Go beyond what looks like it's going to be the right thing. I was going to share with you those characters earlier. I get lost sometimes. See what you missed? This is a glass bridge in Beijing. And this girl, it's interesting to me, a lot of people are afraid to walk on it. They just know that it's not going to hold them up. And this particular person is going across on their hands and knees. If you probably stood there long enough, you might find a jogger or two that's running by. You know, this is fine. I have total confidence in this. Maybe they've been over it hundreds of times. But some people look at it and go, I have to go very, very slowly. And that's the way our faith builds sometimes. Sometimes we're on our hands and knees. Sometimes we're moving only 6 inches at a time. And God keeps reinforcing us. And he keeps giving us victories. And he keeps allowing us to know that our faith is leading us in the right direction. And soon we can get up and walk slowly on our feet. And then we can walk a little more assuredly, a little more quickly. And maybe we get to the place where we can run. And if we look down, we see the ground down there. We can see totally through it. And we say to ourselves, don't trust what you're seeing. Trust the support that's really there. And that is exactly what God is saying to us. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Turn off what we see. Follow what we know. This morning, we ask you to turn off your sight and respond to God. And if you need to do that in some public way, we'd be glad to help you with that process while we sing this song of encouragement.